Thank you.
Thanks. Oh, sorry.
Okay, I've never actually told a story, so this is new for me. Lectures are one thing, but actually giving a story, I thought maybe this would be a good opportunity to do it in front of a, I kind of was hoping, smaller crowd. So, sorry. But I figured that this would be a good practice for doing something. And also, I think that, like you said, I'm finding that with the pit, we're getting to have our stories told by someone else. And it's been great for listening to, like, talking to my husband about it, things that we never used to talk about. And so my story is about Mr. C. He was my very first COVID patient. I would say it was day one of COVID for me. And as you guys know, some of you probably weren't really around practicing during then. I'm a PGY23. So COVID was definitely one of the strangest moments, I think, in my career. For the moments that led up to March 19th, which was the day that he arrived in our ER, we were always just waiting for the patient to show up. Which one is the COVID patient? Which one was it going to be? And it was involving a lot of things too, because we had just switched to online teaching and I had two kids in high school. And, you know, talking to family about whether or not I'd be living at home or in a hospital, in a hotel. And, you know, the family all decided that we should all do this together. And then, like, my little spot in the garage where I would totally drop everything and run naked through the house to get into the shower, which one day accidentally my son and his friends opened the garage and I was there changing, and that was really traumatic for him. Probably more for his friends. But anyhow, all of that was COVID. And then a PA, and a lot of it also had to do with, like, when you drove up to the hospital and you sat out there, I think I first felt those first panic feelings that I've never had in my life, but I now think that's probably what it was, like panic almost. Going in, not knowing what this virus did, whether had we caught it, are we bringing it home? You know, we were wiping down our groceries, our, like, everything we did in the hospital to the extreme that we did it. And that day, my PA came to me and said, I think we have a COVID patient. His sats are 55%. He's talking to me, and he looks like he's uncomfortable, but literally his sats are 55%. And I'm like, okay, that's probably our first patient. And I remember that feeling of, like, oh shit. And at the same time, another patient had just come in similarly sick. And my colleague on the other side was like, okay, I got one too. And so the two of us knew what probably the progression was going to be. We were going to be intubating most likely, because that's what we did then. And we took out our plastic sheets and our boxes. And we had, like, you know, the respirators and all the stuff that we were putting on and off. And we, you know, like, I literally think back and think we were like astronauts going to the moon. It was like all the equipment, and the time it took to put it on was pretty crazy. So he was in the room, and eventually he got sick enough that we had to make that decision to intubate him. And I actually took the assignment literally. It is truly an airway story. But so we had to also, and it was like the team of people outside and the team of people inside the room, and you were given things. So once you put everything on, you're in the room and now you're not coming out. And so, like, you know, we were also helping give medications and we're helping do all kinds of things that we normally wouldn't do. And he sensed it. He sensed that we were all nervous and that this was our first patient. I think he realized, he picked it up somehow. And he was a retired school teacher from New Trier. And he kind of said, hey, everybody, take a breath. Like, meanwhile, he's barely breathing. But he's telling us literally to calm down, take a breath, and it was going to be okay. And I just remember thinking, he just all of a sudden made us realize that he was also in the room and that he was the patient and that we actually were doing this all for him. And this was something that as a team, and he talked to us about some stories from school and as we were setting everything up. And then the whole time I'm over him, just kind of looking at him and talking to him, and he's really kind of calming me down and telling me it was going to be okay. And the intubation happened like any other intubation. We know how to intubate. But I do remember that last moment. And then I was invested in this man. I knew he was a school teacher. I knew a little bit about his life already. I knew everything. And I just needed to make sure he made it through. And every day I would go up to the ICU, and for 15 days he was on a ventilator until the last day where he actually got extubated. And this to me was a miracle because we totally thought that these patients would never make it. And I think especially because he was one of the first COVID patients and we'd already been hearing about people dying and everything, he made it through. And it was to me like, I can't even believe it. Like he made it through. He had some comorbidities, but he still made it. And then the day after he was extubated, I went to his room and I thought, I just need to talk to him and just tell him who I was. And I was the ER doc that I saw. And I literally walked in the room and he looked at me. He's like, your eyes, I remember you. And you were the one who was the last person I saw and we're talking to. And I thought about, and he's like, and periodically, I guess like I'd stop in the room in the ICU or people in there. He remembered those things. It was crazy, the things that he would tell. And at that moment, we made a decision. He's like, please send a picture of us to my wife because I haven't seen her for two and a half weeks. And I really want her to know I'm okay. And so we took a picture and I sent it to her. And I said, can I send this to my colleagues? Because I think they would also appreciate this. He's like, absolutely, send it to whoever you want. And I took that literally. And that night when I went home, I just was so overwhelmed with emotion about this and the humanity that he brought to me and made me realize how all of this, what all of this meant, that I wrote it, a Facebook post, and I put it out there and I went to bed. It was like 2 a.m. I went to bed and woke up and it was like exploded. 40,000 shares already. Like it was all over the place. Globally, people were like reaching out to me. It was almost like everybody also needed to hear that he was okay and that people could be okay. And then I realized also, shit, I did not get permission from the hospital to post this picture. And that became an issue. So I had to like quickly go to the hospital and get Mr. C to sign a form, and he did. And then after that, the hospital was really happy because like the Today Show called and Ellen DeGeneres and Good Morning America. And I really honestly couldn't, I think I did one. And then I was like, this was not what that was about. And I couldn't even, I actually turned down Ellen DeGeneres. I'm really mad at myself for that. But everything else was just, I just had to let behind. And we became friends actually. So like 6 years has gone by. We go out to lunch and we just went out to lunch, have a glass of wine together. He's gotten to know my kids and I've gotten to know his wife and his family. He's got this big family that keeps sending me things. And it's just been a really great relationship. I actually vaccinated him. It was one of the first vaccinations. And of course, Condell made a big deal about that too. But it was, and then every patient that I see, and I made this a priority for me, every patient that I see after that, he's with me. Because I just have to keep reminding myself that these are people. They could be my grandfather, my grandmother, my son, my daughter. And with it, I think, comes a level of humanity that I don't feel like really I had until before that. So it's my story with Mr. C.